Hi, this is Rob Watson for Soar Sound, and we were at the Riverside Festival in Leicester on Saturday the 6th of June. It was a fabulous day. The weather was pretty good overall, given it could have been really rainy and blustery, but it was pretty nice. We had a great time. Our reporters, Helen, Mr. Ginger and Jen, were out and about, and this is a compilation of all the people that they spoke to, all of the stallholders that they chatted with throughout the day, and hopefully it gives you a flavour of what and why people were at the Riverside Festival.
Good morning, Nadine.
Hello.
Please tell me about yourself and your stall here at the Riverside Festival.
Yeah, so I'm Nadine. I'm the marketing officer for Serendipity Institute for Black Arts and Heritage. We've got a few things here today. We've got a selection of our publications because Serendipity is an independent publisher. So we sell books about dance. We've got exhibition catalogues. We have our annual magazine series. We'll also be giving an insight into our living archive with some images of a recent portraiture exhibition that we did and some of the collections that we have within the archive. And anyone that comes to visit the stall can also take part in a Black History trivia that we have, and they'll have a chance to be on the leaderboard and learn a little bit more about Black history.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And how long have you been going?
Serendipity has been running for the past 16 years.
All right, long time.
Yeah.
And do you have a base or?
Yes, we're based in Leicester City Centre and we are on Bowling Green Street.
Oh, right. So you've actually got a venue.
Yeah. So we have our offices there and then we also host some of our events in there as well. So we do lots of different things like film screenings, conferences, talks. We've also had dance performances in there. So it's a very multi-use venue, I will say, but we also have our reference library in there and a small little exhibition space as well.
So tell me a bit about yourself and why you're so enthusiastic.
Me? Okay, a little bit about me. I'm a dancer, so I first came to know Serendipity as a dancer and also my passion for live events and linking that within the arts. So Serendipity also hosts an international dance festival every year, so that's my sort of peak interest within the year as being someone that loves dance.
So when you say international, does that mean you move around?
No, so the festival takes place in Leicester, but some of our artists and contributors to the festival come from all around the world.
All right, so they come specially from all around the world.
They do indeed. Yes.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
How many people work for Serendipity in Leicester?
It varies. We are quite a small team, but when we have events on, we have our lovely event staff that work with us as well, and then the team expands for our large-scale events when we have our contributors come in for things like our big conference or for the festival. So it really sort of varies throughout the year, but permanent staff wise we are just a little team.
And you do, between you, the team does all the organizing?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And do you have specific jobs or do you just all muck in?
Our roles do cross paths, but we do have dedicated roles within the team. So some of us might work specifically for the heritage side of the organisation, or some of us a bit more towards the arts side of things, but we all cross paths.
Brilliant. How do you make sure that you all get on?
Oh, we just seem to work really well together, I will say. I think because we're also passionate about the work and we have such different interests that then tailor our sort of insight that can then channel through the work. So I think we do often learn a lot from each other. So I think everyone within the team is very open-minded to learn from each other. I feel like that helps us.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much,
Nadine.
What was your name again?
My name's Helen.
Helen, lovely to meet you, Helen.
And you, Nadine.
Are you just going around and
interviewing people and letting them know? And
lovely.
So we'll go out on radio.
Okay. Do you get lots of listeners?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Lovely to meet you, Helen.
It's the Ginger One for Soul Sound. We are down at the riverside. I'm just about to enter this strange looking tent that we have here. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, young gentleman. My name is Dr. Thomas Henry Mithenthorpe, and I am accompanied by...
Matron Hell on Earth. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet the both of you.
And we're here at Riverside this weekend. We have travelled from the year 1894, bringing with you a brief presentation about some of our pioneering Victorian methods of treating what you call mental health conditions.
Yes, the evolving practices in the asylums of Victorian England, yes.
Yes, so if you'd like to come and learn about some lobotomy techniques or maybe a
raw... Shock therapy.
Yes, shock therapy, that's very good. Or rotation therapy. Or some good old leech bloodletting, then yes.
Come on down, yes, we'll tell you all about it.
What if they can't get down? Can they find you? I'm guessing you don't have a Facebook page or anything like that, do we?
Yes, we do. It is Enter Edom. enteredem.co.uk, and you will find us there. We are the time travel treatment room.
Ah, maybe we should go behind there and have a look at see where we can put these leeches. So if you don't mind just explaining for the listeners what the boards that are in front of us, what these for.
Well, these are our treatment boards, which demonstrate some of the mental health treatments of yesteryear, including shock therapy, which is still used today in certain cases, but I think it's maybe slightly more humane and, it just works better. See, the whole idea came about originally from an Italian neurologist who was queuing up at the butcher's when he saw a butcher, unfortunately, electrocute a pig, which made the pig quite placid. And your neurologist thought, I wonder if that would work with people. So off he went home and electrocuted someone. But we don't have any electricity with us here today. So we have a visual form of a shock. So I may have to do a brief auditory description for the listeners, I'm afraid. But you two will be able to experience the shock.
Let's do it.
Okay, I am...
What do we need to do?
Stand there and brace yourselves, okay?
Don't worry, I'm here to catch you.
I am relieving the safety fastening on the shocking image, okay?
Yeah.
I am drawing back the curtains, I am looking away, and I am revealing the image, which is very shocking.
Very. It's a lady's leg. Ankle, yeah.
Ankle, no leg, no leg. This is a respectable treatment room.
It's
a picture of a lady's ankle out. Oh my,
Are you shocked?
Close it, my eyes.
Is your mood elated?
I wouldn't say it's that, no. What's the next one?
Well, over here,
yep.
We have the lobotomy, which I must admit is slightly a bit more advanced, even for our Victorian era. Concerningly, the lobotomy was kind of a early 20th century idea. And for those of you that might not know, it started with an ice pick going into someone's brain and having a bit of a wiggle. A bit of a wiggle. So in front of us, we have a painting of someone's skull with a series of almost jigsaw pieces, I would say.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like to me.
We're inviting people to come and lift some of them up and just see if they were to do a lobotomy, would happen?
Just lift anyone?
Just lift that up. Oops, and the patient now has seizures.
If you were to do your lobotomy in that area, you would then gain seizures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pick another one.
We'll put this star-looking one.
Oh, dear. Lost your personality, have you?
One more?
Maybe try a different one.
Yes, best out of three.
A good one.
A good one, okay.
Yes, come on. Oh, well, the patient's now emotional. Goodness.
It sounds like it's my brain. What's the next one? let's go all the way around. What's this one?
Well, over here we have Rorschach tests, which you might know at home as a ink blot test. So it is a case of having a look at these very scientific ink blots and sharing what it is you see within them. There's no right or wrong answers, but of course... Some of the answers.
Yes.
might suggest certain conditions. So if I could show you this one, yep. What would you...
Describe to the listeners what you can see.
Well, it looks like... it's quite difficult to explain what it looks like. It looks like a... it looks like a transformer.
Hello.
There you go. That's all I can think of.
Most concerning. And how about this one here?
That looks like a... looks like a star.
I see two swallows kissing.
Two swallows kissing?
Yes.
I suppose if I look at it a different way, yes. Maybe I could pick them up. It's very good. Oh, butterfly.
No, that's an elephant.
That's an elephant.
We need to look a bit more into my brain, I think. Is there any more we can try and explain to the listeners today? What's behind the big screen?
That's the privacy screen.
The privacy screen?
Yes, for the privacy.
Ah, okay.
We have over here...
So we'll just go over here. Oh, here we go. What's this?
Oh, here she is, my favourite girl.
Don't mind Dr. Bartholomew. Oh. He loves her.
This is Clementine. May I?
Of course you can.
Look, there you go. This here is Clementine the leech. She's not a slug. She's a leech. And we use bloodletting in our asylum, don't we?
Yes.
To remove impurities and imbalances in the blood.
Oh, right. Did that actually work back in the day?
It still works now, of course.
Yeah, yes.
Back in my day.
Of course.
Well, you can take her back before I accidentally drop her.
Thank you. She's very precious.
But it's been a pleasure. Thank you for letting me see inside my own brain.
You look positively peaky.
Yes,
peaky.
Yeah. Elated.
Yes.
Peaky and elated.
I think it was the brain's, brain the oopsies. Three of them, not good. But thank you again. Enjoy the rest of the day and hopefully we'll meet again.
Thank you for coming back in time.
The future.
We nearly that sound looks like Mark. Hello.
Hello.
Looks like miles away.
I'm from... Radio Saw.
Hello.
And I wondered if you would talk to me about what's going
Absolutely.
On here.
Absolutely, yeah, and we can all talk to you.
Oh, yes.
We've got our student here as well, who's going to be live painting today.
Oh, right. So how many people have you got here today?
Well, we're supporting Bright Sparks.
Yes.
And our students are supporting them today. So we've got students in the
Leicester University students.
Leicester College.
College.
Yes, so they're our art and design students. So they're face painting today in the tent
there. I want to get this done.
Yeah.
So what was your name?
My name's Natalie. And this is also Natalie.
Oh, hello,
so
Natalie.
Very easy to explain. It's a bit windy, so I put the flowers and they just... So I put them down.
Right. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
It's lovely to be here and seeing you. Yeah. And Natalie looks absolutely wonderful with
you.
Her painting
yes.
on her face.
Yes.
Beautifully done.
That was done by one of my students in the creative tent over there.
So tell me which tent we're in and what you're doing.
So we are in collaboration with Bright Sparks today. So they are a creative charity. Natalie knows a lot more about the charity than I do. Our students have been working on the theme, What Makes You Bloom? So they've been creating lots of artwork, as you can see around you, in kind of response to the artists. They came in to talk to the students about the charity. Yeah.
Just tell the listeners who your students are.
Yes, so I am at Leicester College. This is Cassandra, Claudia and Nico. Nico is going to be painting today. Izzy and Cassandra are face painting as part of the charity, so they're supporting Emma from Bright Sparks. And then we've got students dropping in throughout the day doing some craft work with young people to support the idea of what makes you bloom.
And what do you expect people to say?
I just hope. Oh, what do you think, guys? What makes people bloom? Music, art, creativity, nature,
community.
Yeah, lots of different things. Everybody has their own idea of what makes them bloom. So they've all chosen their own theme. Leicester as well, what makes Leicester bloom? So we've chosen maybe landmarks as well in Leicester. So students have been painting, creating digital art, ceramics, textiles. So we're surrounded by all their creativity today.
That's fabulous.
Thank you.
And can I talk to some of the students?
Yeah, you asked them.
Would you like to talk?
It's for a radio station.
Sorry. Can you tell me about the course you're on and why you're here today? And your name?
I'm Claudia. We're here today for Bright Sparks, I'm pretty sure, as a charity event. What are we doing?
And we're in the art and design course. I'm Izzy. And we are on level 3, year 1. And today we have a bunch of activities mainly aimed towards children, but anybody could participate. A lot of natural dyes, painting and stone painting, anything that they would like and that makes them happy. And they can dot it around to spread the positivity.
And what do you hope to do when you finish your course?
I would like to go into illustration and explore art careers, as I think everybody needs a bit of art in their life. Not sure specifics yet, though.
And what about you?
I'd like to become a tattoo artist, so I'm trying to get into an apprenticeship, a tattoo course, and also because I paint on the side a lot of portraiture, I'd like to put that into gallery so people can see my work and all the meaning behind it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm still down here at the riverside with everyone here from Saw Sound. I'm just about to go into this tent and speak to this young man.
Hello, I'm Nick Howlett. This is Andy Lewitt, and we're both volunteers for Leicester Hospital's Creative Health and Heritage Centre. The part that you're in at the moment is showing some of the artefacts from the hospital museum, which was relocated to the Glenfield Hospital. And what we've been aiming to do today is just give a sample, just a very brief sample of all the artefacts that we've got, including some of the old nursing uniforms, some of the old treatments that probably weren't that great in the day, but it gives you an example of how we actually got to where we are today. And really just to give people a very brief overview of what the museum actually represents, and I'm trying to put the word out there. There is a Leicester Hospital Museum. We'd love people to come and see us.
Whereabouts is the museum?
It's actually based at the Glenfield Hospital.
Oh, so it's the Glenfield Hospital.
And it tends to be open between 10 and 4 on Fridays at the moment, because we're still trying to sort all the artefacts out to get them all labelled. We're doing various different displays, so the next one that actually comes on will be looking at Leicester hospitals during the wars. There's lots of artefacts that represent that and give a great idea of the sacrifices that people made during those times. A bit later on in the year we'll be concentrating on elements of patient measurements, so the old ways that we used to measure things like blood pressure, temperature, weight, hearing, for instance.
All right.
Got an example there. That's
well, what's this?
That's what you're seeing there is a very early example of how you actually measure somebody's hearing. Oh. Literally by using a violin bow and playing different tones to see whether people can recognise them or hear them or not. So, beautiful piece of kit.
Every day is a learning day, and I just learned something there. What was this one for?
Indeed. Well, again, that was very sort of popular in the late 19th century, and it's called the VD vibratory massage. The whole idea is if you've got a bit of an ache or a pain, you actually apply this onto somebody's back, and by turning the handle, you cause a vibration and just... Indeed. As demonstrated here by this lady, you know, extremely popular at the time. Whether it worked or not, it didn't actually cause any harm. But the main thing is that the guy that invented it ended up becoming the equivalent of a multi-millionaire.
All right.
Yeah.
Is this a thermometer?
Yeah, this is a very early version of a blood pressure machine.
Oh, blood pressure machine.
So we would actually wrap that cuff around your arm.
Okay.
It's a little bit friable now. And that's one of the very early versions. And then that was taken over by the same bit of kit, but actually used mercury. And that's an example of one of those.
Oh, yeah. I've seen one of them before.
Yeah. And that was probably the most familiar type of blood pressure machine you would have seen until early this century when it all became electronic.
Oh, There you go. And one more time, where is this museum?
It's based at the Glenfield Hospital. And like I say, it's at the moment, we tend to open between 10 and 4. We welcome anybody who's coming. What we've got, if people want to come down to the festival, we can give them more information. But what we've got there is...
Is there a web page they can find more information on?
Apparently we're on Twitter under the Creative Heritage, Creative Health and Heritage Centre. But you can also get sort of details from the Leicester Hospital's website.
There you go. Go check them out. This is great. Thanks, guys. Okay. Enjoy the rest of the day. And the sun's out.
Indeed.
Right. I'm going to go and check out some more places.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Leslie. It's lovely to see you. Could you tell me what you're doing here today?
Yes, certainly, Helen. It's a pleasure to be here. I was asked to do a poetry workshop for children as part of the Bright Sparks initiative, and with Emma Fay as the person that directly asked me. She's a very famous body artist and face painter, and she does a lot of events. The poetry events are part of the outreach programme for We Are the Headliners that runs at Central Library every fourth Saturday. And it's especially for children, teaching them or asking them to join in writing poetry, either by taking the initial letters of their name and using that as the first letter of every line of a poem, or else things like a haiku, which are three lines, five syllables, seven syllables and five syllables. And I find it's very popular, the short form. But we do let people know about the other forms and where they can go again to practice. Some days we have an open mic here. And now the sun's come out, I think that might be a possibility as well. But thank you for being here.
I do know Leslie quite well, who has helped in Evington and around with various projects and things. You do actually work with adults as well, don't you, at the Central Library?
Yes, we like mother tongue poems, perhaps with interpretation. It's open to all ages. The youngest so far has been 6 and the oldest 83. There's no restriction or topic, so people can come along to the poetry, either as a keen audience, we always appreciate a friendly audience, or as a first time to share their work in a public space.
Thank you, Leslie. And here, this workshop is about what makes you bloom, and I wonder what you would say if I said asked you that question.
I think part of it is just to open up creative possibilities for children, showing them how they can express themselves even in a small sort of situation such as this. It gives them the confidence to perhaps go ahead and make a wonderful sort of expression of themselves in future life.
Thank you very much.
It is I, the Ginger One, still at the Riverside Festival, having a great time, getting burnt. Should put some factor 50 on. I'm just about to go into this beautiful, nice, artistic tent here and speak to this young lady. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Nico, and this is basically just a tent made up of young individuals that are part of Leicester College. We do a wide range of courses, ranging from like media, photography, art and design, and it's honestly so cool. Like, the teachers are amazing, but the course that I do is art and design, and today I am painting the landscape, and hopefully some other people that are going to be joining us.
Is that what you draw in here now? Yeah. It's the stage that's in front of us. Oh, I get it now. I just saw the curtain drapes, and I was like, "Oh, I wonder what she's drawing." So this is a course that you're on.
Yeah, I'm just about to finish it though.
Oh, well, this year.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Anyone that is listening wants to get involved, is there like a web page? Help them get involved.
Yeah. So just type in Leicester College, and it should be the first one there. And I mean, it's open to anyone, even adults. There's like adult courses as well as a part of the adult college near Duffy's. And yeah, it's really inviting. I love Alex, the ceramic technician. And yeah.
There you go, get down there. I'll be back to have a look at your picture a bit later.
Thank you
for your time.
Of course.
So we'll be back.
Yeah.
Good morning, Norman.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you. And can you tell me about your stall and what you're doing and why you're here?
Yeah, of course. So I'm part of the Bright Sparks Arts group, and this is our shop. And the shop is made up of a number of our programs and projects. So we're selling products from the Green Room Gardeners, which is a community mental health group who meet once a week at Queen's Road, and they obviously plant things and make things. And also here is a blend of the Green Room Gardeners books with all the recipes in, and we've also blended that with word poetry, so it's matched with poetry. And then there's other crafts that we do at other Bright Sparks Arts projects. So we're just letting people know who we are and what we're doing in the community, and trying to raise a few quid by selling our products.
Thank you. How long have you been going?
Bright Sparks Arts, it's our 26th year, so we're 26 years in the making. Started out very much in partnership with Leicester LPT hospitals, and we've just developed from there, really. So 26 years this year.
And you're independent now?
Totally, totally independent. We're an independent charity. We raise all our own funds and all our own money, and we work in partnership with the other trusts and people around who want to work with us. But we're just a charity made up of the good and the willing.
And do you have a base in Leicester?
Not really. We kind of all work from our own homes and places. So no, we tend to be in this virtual world these days. So we don't have an office or a place as such.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Guess what? I'm still here at the Riverside Festival. Whoop, 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 whoop. Sod Sound Radio, the Ginga one. How we doing? I don't even know why I'm talking to you like this. You're there and I'm over here having a great time. What's coming up later in the... what tent was it, sorry?
So we have our sensory well-being tent this afternoon. We have a well-being haiku word hunt going on. For any feeling like everything's got a bit too much or it's a bit too noisy, Riverside Festival's really lively, isn't it? You can take a little stroll into the shady part of the gardens and find a little enclave of woodland wonderland and find yourself a word to help calm you down, and it will be included in a haiku with Dr. Helen Foster, who is leading the session as part of the Stony Gate Centre for Empathic Healthcare. She's here.
Oh, she's here today. She'll be doing poetry, I believe, in a couple of minutes. And we'll go over there a bit later. But if those that can't get down today, is there anywhere that they can get hold of what she's doing? Is there a line? Is she on Facebook and Instagram and X and all those other cyber places?
Yeah, there is a fantastic workshop that Helen leads every month, and it's called the Empathy Hour. And it's an online poetry workshop that I believe people can access by finding the Stony Gate Centre for Empathic Healthcare online, and they can sign up to join the Empathy Hour with Helen Foster.
There you go. Go check that out. We'll be over there. How long till the poetry starts?
It's on all day, so it's in motion. Poetry in motion already.
Oh, it's already in motion. We'll head over there and we'll see what's going on. Thank you very much. Sorry, what was your name?
I'm Sally Varnin from Bright Sparks Arts and Leicester's Hospitals.
There you go.
Good morning, Natalie.
Hello.
You're here at this workshop. Can you tell me about it, please?
Yeah, I'm Natalie from Gather, Create, Grow, and we're an organisation who use creativity to bring people together and improve mental health. And we organise an event which will be taking place this summer in the village of Cosby called Cosby Yarn Bomb, 8th to the 29th of July. And we turn the village into a big trail of yarn and textile displays. Anybody can come along. It's a free event to attend. And we're here today creating some communal pieces of artwork. So we've got some giant hearts which you can tie onto or weave yarns and textiles into, and also we've got some fabric butterflies that people can make, and they'll all be then displayed at the Yarn Bomb this summer.
So do you live in Cosby?
Yes, I do.
How long have you been involved?
We set up a community group there, just a creative craft group in 2019, and then decided to do a little yarn bomb that summer, and it's just grown from there. So we started as a voluntary craft group, and now we're a community interest company.
Thank you, that's brilliant.
That's okay.
Hello, how are you?
All right, successful. Did a successful show.
Yeah, what? First of all, what's your name? Where'd you come from?
There's Phil. I come from Beaumont Lees.
Beaumont Lees. Yeah. Big shout out to the Beaumont Lees people. So what brought you to the festival today?
To perform.
To perform?
Yes.
You're a performer. What is it that you're performing?
I did the Comedy Talent Presents Mariposa World Film Brixton back in February. Today, it was Shakespearean Master.
Experian Master.
Shakespearean Master.
Okay, brilliant. Have you enjoyed your experience here today?
Oh, yes, I have. And where it is in the local paper I've seen, 30 years ago, next year, it's back here again. 30 years, I'm ready for 30 years.
You're ready for another 30 years?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Just out of interest for the festival, what do you think makes this festival special?
Special with performances, free, kid-friendly, family-friendly.
Yes, that is very true. The Riverside Festival is free for anybody to come and visit. It's family friendly. There are dogs, so it's dog friendly. It's just a fantastic day out.
And sheer diversity along with this city and all.
Absolutely.
Diversity, yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
At the Riverside Festival, that I still am here, yes, breathing and enjoying the sun and everything else going on. And I finally found Helen, who is doing the sound hunt, is it?
Haiku hunt. It's a
haiku hunt. Sorry, I do apologise.
That's okay.
What does this entail and what is it for?
Okay, so for those of you that aren't clear on what a haiku is a very short poem. It originated in Japan many, many, many years ago, and we have our form that we use in English now. And the aim of a haiku is to capture a moment in time. It's a very mindful way of looking at things, stopping for a moment, focusing in on the detail and exploring with your senses and thinking about how you feel when you're in that moment. And what we're offering today is an opportunity for you to hunt around Castle Gardens or have a little explore of some of the props that we've got on our table here and come up with your own haiku. So engaging your senses, looking for details, smelling things, feeling things, listening, stopping and listening for a moment. And really what we're all about is we're part of a project where we're looking at creative curiosity and well-being. So it's about slowing down and stopping and being mindful and being in the moment and exploring words creatively and really just engaging with it through with a beginner's mind, I suppose.
So like turn off your phone.
Exactly.
You don't have to do it in the gardens, but you could do it probably the gardens at home or in the park.
Yes, this kind of thing you could do just sitting in a room in your house, and actually it's encouraging you to look at those things that you see every day and that become so familiar you don't see the detail anymore or you even forget they're there, and stopping and looking at them with fresh eyes.
Oh, sweet. But if people can't get down today, is there a way of getting in contact with you to look at this a bit more? Do you have a Facebook page for this, or are you on Bluey or X? I don't know what's out there anymore. Instagram.
The best way to get in touch with us is we are part of a bigger project at the University of Leicester, at the Centre for Empathic Healthcare, the Stonygate Centre for Empathic Healthcare. So if you go to the University of Leicester website and find the Stonygate Centre for Empathic Healthcare, and the address, the email address is empathy@leicester.ac.uk, and if you want to send any inquiries or anything to us that you want to know about what we're doing and a bit more about the project, please do.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Helen. I'm going to go and have a look around myself now.
Lovely.
Have a little talk to myself.
Great.
Thank you. See you in a bit. Bye.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Good morning, Chris. It's nice to meet you. Can you tell me what you're doing here at this festival, Riverside Festival?
Yeah, of course. So I'm the Collections Development Officer at the Creative Health and Heritage Centre, which is a museum that's based on the Glenfield Hospital campus on the north of Leicester. And so we have a big collection of heritage objects and artworks that have been collected over the past kind of 30 or 40 years. And there was an original museum about 10 years ago, which is in the old nurses' ballroom at the LRI, so the Leicester Royal Infirmary. But there was a flood, and there was a lot of flood damage, a lot of damage to the objects, and they were packed away very hastily, like I say, about 11, 12 years ago, and were recently kind of dug back out of their cardboard boxes. And as part of that process, we've started assembling a object handling collection. So we were looking through the boxes. We saw all sorts of kind of gruesome, horrible kind of surgical objects and instruments. And we selected those that we thought were appropriate to be handled by patients and by the community members. So we kind of pushed aside all the scalpels and, you know, all those kind of nasties. And we've brought... obviously, I can't show you, but we've got chloroform, a bottle of Victorian bottle of chloroform, a Victorian cork press, some medical spoons, some ointment pots. And what we do is we bring these objects into Glenfield Hospital for the patients to handle and to engage with. And it provides a bit of a break, a bit of respite, a bit of entertainment whilst they're on the wards. Because we know the hospital can be quite a clinical and alienating environment, particularly when the family's not there. So the patients spend a lot of time kind of on their own, kind of twiddling their thumbs. And so we come in, we bring these objects and we talk about them. And in that way, the patients learn both about the history, the medical heritage of Leicester and the UK more broadly. But they also learn... that they also share about their experiences in hospital as well, and essentially they use these objects as a stepping stone, as a platform to then talk about their own experiences in hospital. And I think that's the kind of true value of the work that we do at the Creative Health and Heritage Centre.
And how long have you been involved?
Oh, so I was invited onto the project 2 years ago, yeah, pretty much 2 years ago to the date. So I'm a PhD student at the University of Leicester as well. So again, a lot of the work that I do is around object handling with community groups. And so Sally, who's the project manager at the Creative Health and Heritage Centre, she very kindly invited me onto this project as these objects that have been packed away for years and years and years were finally seeing the light of day for the first time in a decade. So yeah, about 10 years. And we also do exhibitions, a rotating number of exhibitions, temporary exhibitions. So the one we've got running currently is on nursing. And then we've also got one coming up on sutures. So stitching, surgical stitches, which is really, really exciting. So we've got a wonderful team of volunteers as well who are putting this rotating array of exhibitions on. But then I handle more of the kind of community engagement side of things.
And are you a volunteer yourself?
I have been a volunteer across many different organisations, like including the National Trust, the Black Country Living Museum, but I work kind of as the Collections Development Officer with the organisation, yeah.
Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure.
Still here at Riverside Festival. Weather-wise, grey. Misty, could rain, I'm not quite sure. But I am quite sure about these two ladies that I'm about to talk to right now in this beautiful little cosy hut we've got here at Riverside Festival. You two look familiar, but we'll talk about that another time. If you'd just like to introduce yourselves and tell us what it is you're doing here and what it's all about today.
Okay, so my name is Jo and I'm from Fashion Enter, Fashion Technology Academy.
Oh, that's where I remember you from.
Ah, yes, yes. So we're in the city centre, Phoenix House, where we teach level one, level two stitching and pattern cutting. But we're here today upcycling. So we've got deadstock remnants from the garment industry here in Leicester, and we're reusing them, repurposing them. We're cutting up t-shirts to make bags. We're making bag holders, just generally connecting and showing what you can make something out of nothing.
So a bit of like recycling,
yeah,
old...
Yeah,
old
repairs
with, yeah, old stock. So yes, like if, yeah, I'm looking around in, you know, the cupboard or in the, yeah, attic or something, yeah, well, I could just bring them down to you guys and, yeah, you'll, yeah, show me.
Absolutely.
Whereabouts are you again?
So we are outside of the VJ Patel building, so the food hall. So we are right next to DMU, who we're working in conjunction with. They're doing some t-shirt upcycling. We're doing some other upcycling and repairs. So yeah, it's really creative fashion.
You said that you're in the city centre as well.
Yeah.
What is it you do there, and how do we get involved? Okay. Can we get involved, and how do we get in contact with you there as well? Do you have like any...
Okay.
This is another lady now, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Divya, and what we are doing is we're having a fashion technology academy in Phoenix House, which is a centre of city centre, and we're providing level 1 and level 2 qualification in fashion and textiles, sewing, pattern cutting, and also we are into skills bootcamp course, which is like employability course, and you can get trained as per the employer requirement and get into the job. So we are designing the course as required by the employer to make to help people to get into the job, which is readily available.
So is there a web page? Can I come down and get involved?
Yes. So you can come down. We have left the flyer all over in city centre and even in this area. So you can log on to www.fcftaleicester@fashion-enter.com. You can contact us through phone. It's 011-6436-2560, and you can come visit us, see what we are offering, and if you wish, we can enroll you for the course, and we can inform you when is the next cohort.
Oh, do you reckon I'll get on this course this time?
You could get on those machines.
Well, I knew I remembered you too. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the day, and hopefully, you know, I can find some old T-shirts for you to sort out for me.
Cool.
Thanks very
much. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm still in the Creative Health and Heritage Centre. I've talked to Chris, and now I'm about to talk to Charlotte, who's going to tell me what she does.
Hi, so I volunteer at the Creative Health and Heritage Centre. So when it's open on Fridays, open to the public, I tend to be there. Every few weeks we do creativity for wellbeing sessions. So it's ranged from painting, collages. Recently we made flowers to go on the tents here at the festival, and it was kind of aimed at hospital staff, but at the minute open to everyone to come and have a break for an hour or two, and whilst there you have access to the hospital museum's items because we're just in a room in there. I've been doing that for a few months. It's quite an interesting thing to be part of as someone who spent a lot of time in hospitals and grew up as a young carer, so was there for my own health and for family members' health, to then see the way the history and the items that were used have changed, and some that haven't changed.
And so what are you doing today?
So I'm mostly just helping Chris with the touch kit, but I will also be dotted around a few of the tents helping out in general.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm still here at the Riverside Festival, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I think it's been over more than 40 years since I was last on the book bus. I cannot believe that I'm in the book bus right now with this young man. What is your name? Sorry, sir.
Yeah, I'm Matt from Leicester Libraries.
Hi, Matt. Hey, this is bringing back so many memories. I do remember it. I think it was blue back in the day, though, a bit longer than this one.
We've had several iterations of book buses. There's been black ones, there's been blue ones, but this one's the first one that's all electric.
Is this all electric?
Fully electric vehicle, yeah. Clean and green and full of fantastic stories. And
full of books as well. Yeah. I hope you don't try looking me up. I think I might have a book still somewhere at home. Do I still have to pay for it if I find it?
We'll send the bailiffs around, don't worry.
What else is it that you do up here apart from the book bus?
So Leicester's got 16 libraries, and so there's libraries all over the city, and there's services in libraries are mostly free for adults and children. We've got work clubs, so job clubs. We've got health and wellbeing sessions. We've got knit and natter groups. We've got storytelling sessions for kids. Always half term and school holidays, there'll be a range of either free or very low cost activities for children and families to take part in. And of course, the big summer holidays is coming up, so we've got lots planned for that.
Do you still go around the neighbourhood estates?
So this bus does four neighbourhood routes on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday in different parts of the city, Braunston, Beaumont Lees, towards Thurnby Lodge. So there's quite a few routes in the city, and Saffron is one of the other ones, yeah.
Is there any way that the listeners can get any information about the book buses?
So we've just changed our URL, actually. It's libraries.leicester.gov.uk. So that's the Leicester Libraries website. If I got that wrong, excuse me, but if you Google Leicester Libraries, you will be led to us. There's information about the book bus. There's information about our toddler time, stay and play sessions, homework clubs for children, and all the adult things that we do. And of course, you know, borrowing books and reading. This is the National Year of Reading, by the way. For anybody who has seen the sign Go All In all over the place, that is the logo for National Year of Reading. And of course, as a library service, we're taking part.
Is this no phone zone as well? So you can't come up with your phones in this. It's just all books.
Well, we're not very strict about saying people can't have phones. We probably wouldn't encourage lots of people on the book bus talking on their phones. The kids are all into the books when they're on here. But in libraries, we don't say you can't use a phone. We just say be considerate of other users.
There you go. So if you see the book bus around, pop on it, have a look. I tell you what, it's bringing back memories. And I think I do have mail more than one or two books, to be honest. Well, thank you very much. And hopefully you'll be down my street soon.
Oh, I hope so.
Hello, Billy. I see you're from the University of Leicester in a marquee. Can you tell me what you're doing?
So today we're here with the University of Leicester Heritage Hub. And we have a couple dig pits. We have a couple activities for kids and adults to do. Just letting people know about the archaeology of Leicester.
Thank you. There's another table there as well. Can you tell me what's happening there?
Yeah, of course. So on one of the tables we have a bunch of bones, we have a bunch of pot, and other archaeological remains that you can come and take a look at just to see what was going on in the past.
Thank you. And can you tell me a bit about yourself and why you're here?
I am a archaeology and ancient history student in second year. I absolutely love what I do. I've got a dig site myself, so I was doing a bunch of this stuff literally yesterday. And I'd just love for more people to get to know more about the subject.
Thank you. So what do you hope to do when you finish?
When I finish, I really want to go into museums and heritage. So looking at places like castles, churches, cathedrals, touring people around, educating people about places all over the country, all over the world.
Thank you very much.
So, yes, Soul Sound Radio, still down here, the Riverside Festival. It's really beautiful at the moment as we're here, but what's going to make it even better is we're going to talk to this young lady called Steph that's going to tell us all about what she is doing here with, it looks like a bus.
It does look like a bus, a very large double-decker bus, but that is just a small aspect of what we do, So we are a Different Human Design. Lindsay and I run a platform where we advocate and offer support for people of all types of neurodivergence, all the different labels that you can collect these days. We basically have a non-deficit approach that we can offer to people and provide a space at certain events like this where people can come and chat to us, they can relax, and they can even read on what we call Bus Different, as you so kindly mentioned. It's a double-decker bus that Lindsay lives at the top of, but at the bottom is a book bus. So we travel around to different events, festivals, and offer this really like safe space basically for anyone that feels, like I said, neurodivergent, but now the word different just encompasses anyone that feels othered by society.
Okay.
So we offer just a peaceful, quiet, non-overstimulating place where people can come to during events and talk to professionals and also lived experience. Me and Lindsay both have ADHD, autism, all the labels or whatever. So if people can see, especially through our podcast as well, A Different Podcast Official, that we are doing a podcast, no matter how messy and ridiculous we are, we're still putting ourselves out there. So it's any kind of guidance someone might need to feel like they're not enough in this world.
So what was the podcast again?
A Different Podcast Official with Lindsay and Steph. You'll find it on YouTube.
Is there any other ways of getting in contact with you to find out a bit more about what the bus is all about?
Yeah, definitely. If you go to busdifferent.com or adifferenthumandesign.co.uk, you'll find all of our information there on where the bus will be, what we offer, and then our individual services that we offer to support. There's also resources that you can download or order, and they basically give a lot more information than what the NHS or certain national government programs can offer. Like I said, it's a non-deficit approach, so it's very positive in the way that it teaches people about ADHD, autism, and not this everything you struggle with. We also give, these are your strengths, could possibly be your strengths, and what you could do in the future with them.
So where's the bus off to next after this Riverside Festival?
After this weekend, so we're at Riverside now, I've got to remember myself. We are, next weekend we'll be at Cub Jam. So for the Scouts and the Cubs of the Leicestershire, Rutland area, I believe, they'll have the double-decker bus for them to go and explore. And then after that, we'll be at Van Life in Yorkshire, I believe so.
There you go. If you want to go check them out, go check them out. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you ever so much.
Let's go and have a look at this bus.
Good afternoon, Ellie.
Hello, good afternoon.
I see you're on the Leicester Cathedral store.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing? And
so we're just down here today to chat to people about things that are coming up at the cathedral. We've got loads of fun events, you know, some big concerts for people to come along to, some free family activities all throughout the summer. We're also chatting to people about some volunteering opportunities. We've got opportunities in kind of everything that we do at the cathedral, from just chatting to everyday visitors through to education volunteers and events volunteers, and it's great fun and a nice little community. So yeah, we're just really chatting to people, encouraging them to come along to visit the cathedral. It's a lovely space right in the city centre, and yeah, we just want to say hello
and thank you. And how long have you been doing this, and what's your role?
So I actually work in events at the cathedral. I've been doing that for about 6 months, but I've been with the cathedral for coming up to 2.5 years now, and it's a really lovely place to work. It's a really interesting building with an incredible history, so it's great. I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm here at the Zamzam Unlimited Possibilities CIC store, and Tamsin's here, and she's going to tell me about it.
Hi all, I'm Tasnim. Today at Zamzam Unlimited Possibility CIC, we're at the Riverside Festival. Very excited to be amongst a lot of our community partners here. We're in collaboration with De Montfort University and LEAF, which is a sustainability initiative to get more young people, to get more families, a local neighbourhood into more sustainability. And we're doing that through hands-on ways. So today we're here with a communal tapestry where everyone is able to make additions through fabrics, through weaving, through textiles, and are able to make a collaborative story which hopefully we're able to display.
Where will you display it?
So at the moment we're in deliberation, we're thinking our youth room, just so it can inspire the young people that we interact with every week, because at Zamzam Unlimited Possibility CIC we run a lot of youth clubs, we do a lot of community work with young people, we also run a mental health cafe, so we're quite embedded in youth work as well as mental health initiative and sustainability initiatives. So we do a mix of things, and of course if you're more than interested in hearing about our services, please contact us. You can also search us up on our website, on our social media, Instagram and LinkedIn, and get involved with us. And like I said, everything we do is free, so it's amazing.
And how long has Zamzam been going?
So I think we've been live about 3 years now, and our founder, our managing director, Zamzam Yusuf herself, is our managing director, and she's actually been in youth work for over 20 years, so a lot of what we do is based on her experiences and the things that she's seen within Leicester and Beaumont Leys and the impact that she wants to make. So yeah, it's been amazing to see to shadow in her presence.
All right, thank you. And tell me a bit about your passion for what you're doing.
Oh, this one kind of gets me emotional and really talkative. It's a really good question. I'm an artist behind everything I do. I really want to make art and nature accessible. I want everyone to be involved regardless of gender, age, culture, faith. And there's a lot of barriers that exist within accessibility, and I want to reduce them, which is why I love working with ZumZum Unlimited Possibilities, because through our youth activities, we actually do that. We're now doing sustainability activities, we're getting involved with nature, we're also making arts more accessible through different means, whether that's through physical arts like dancing, or we're doing things like drawing, painting, or even textiles like we're doing today at Riverside Festival. That's what I'm really passionate about, and doing community work, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Hello, Ned. You're here at the Riverside Festival with the store. Can you tell me about it and what you're doing?
Okay, well, this is the Leicester Secular Society's stall, and we do have a stall at Riverside every year where we, today we're campaigning about faith schools in Leicester and saying that really, you know, we ought to have a secular system of education. And we've been saying that really for about certainly 175 years, because it's our 175th anniversary this year, and our founders back in 1851 were very keen that schools in Leicester weren't denominational, either at that time nonconformists or Church of England. Today we've got a much more diverse population in Leicester, and we think that having separate schools for different faiths is a recipe for disaster. You know, we think that too many people are living in little bubbles, and we think that if everybody, all the kids, go to the same sort of school, that promotes friendships across boundaries, and we're very keen to have, you know, one Leicester, not a divided Leicester. And we think at the moment religion is dividing Leicester, and we think that's a bad thing. We've nothing against religions, although members of the Secular Society don't have any religion, generally speaking.
And how would you say, if it's been going for so long, 175 years you said,
yeah.
How do you think now is a good opportunity for fulfilling your ambitions?
Well, that's a good point, because I mean, the Secular Society has been saying similar sorts of things for a very long time, and we make slow progress here and there with issues. I mean, for instance, the Secular Society was very supportive of women's rights before the First World War, and women eventually got the vote. And we think if we keep pressing on with this, we will make the point. And I think people have only got to, you know, see the kind of divisive talk that we have in Britain at the moment, and we need to overcome that, and we need to do something about it. And one way is to make sure that we have a better education system which is for all kids and not divided on the grounds of religion.
So this is quite a national campaign, but you're a local group, aren't you? So what do you think you can do locally?
Well, that's just to talk to people, convince people. We have meetings on all sorts of different subjects. I mean, this isn't just one issue for the Secular Society. We have a meeting during our lecture season, which is spring, autumn and winter, and we have a meeting every week on all sorts of different subjects. And I mean, this is just one of the issues that we have meetings about. I mean, we have a variety of speakers on different subjects.
Can you tell me a little bit more then about your weekly meetings?
Well, since 1867, that's when our lecture programme actually formally started, in September 1867, we've always generally met at 6:30 on a Sunday evening, and since 1881, we met at the Secular Hall, except during wartime, when it met at 3 o'clock because of the blackout, so...
And where is the Secular Hall?
The Secular Hall is on Humberston Gate, opposite the now decaying Palais, and opposite the former Sainsbury's, now the B supermarket. So it's easy to find, right bang in the centre in the middle of town. And it's a, you know, very interesting building, arts and craft building, a lovely, lovely exterior with stained glass, because it was built to be a church without God, or maybe a chapel without God, and it's it still fulfills that function. So, for instance, our meeting tonight is about The Strange Lives of Some 19th Century Secularists. The meeting after that is about the riots in Leicester and the report issued quite recently looking into the causes of those riots back in, what was it, 2-3 years ago. And that's then the meeting after that is about a celebration of the karate club in Leicester, which has been in existence, I think, for about 50 years, and the judo in the secular hall's been there for 75 years. So, you know, there's you can see that's quite a variety of topics just in 3 weeks.
And who can come to these meetings?
Anybody. They've always been free. I mean, the only exception to that is sometimes we have a concert where we've got to pay a musician, so we do charge a ticket, or sometimes we've had a comedian come along and we've had to charge. But they've always largely been free.
And how can people join who agree with what you're saying?
Well, they just come along to a meeting, sign up, or go online. We've got an extensive website, and there's information on the website on how to join.
I'm here at the Trent River Trust marquee, and I've got Liz here to talk to me.
Hi, yes, my name's Liz, and I'm a trustee with the Trent Rivers Trust. We're a local river charity. We work all across the Trent catchment, so not just the Trent River, but also on the River Soar in Leicester and lots of other rivers all across the region. And what we want to do is, obviously river health is a massive issue. Loads of people will be aware of that. And we just want to work to try and make rivers a better place for everybody to enjoy. So there's a very big project coming up in Leicester, actually, called Restoring the Soar, which you can look out for, which will see improvements along the River Soar between the city centre and Watermead, out towards the north of the city. And if anyone's interested in the work of Trent Rivers Trust, please do go online and look us up, because we have volunteering opportunities if you'd like to get involved, or just if you'd like to find out more about the sort of work that we do to help rivers and make them better places for people and for wildlife.
Thank you. And are you set up as a charity?
Yes, we are. We're set up as a charity, and we get funding from lots of different places. And the way that we use that funding is we use it to raise awareness and campaign about river issues and for river health. And also we do a lot of work actually on the ground, working with farmers and landowners to make rivers a better place for wildlife. So, for example, we might go onto some land and sort of put some gravel into a river or create a reed bed, something that's going to increase biodiversity. And this can also help with flood risk as well. It can help to reduce flood risk for people who live downstream. So that's an important part of our work too.
And do you liaise with other environmental groups?
Yes, we do. So we're part of the Rivers Trust movement. So that's a national coalition of charities that work all across the UK and Ireland to improve river health. We also work really closely with the Canal and River Trust, which I'm sure a lot of people will have heard of that charity as well. And we work with local authorities. We work with the Environment Agency. We work with water companies. We work with anyone who will help us to make things better.
Hello, Harry. I'm here at the Breast Cancer Now store, and Harry is going to tell me about what they're doing.
Breast cancer affects one or two people in some way, shape or form. We are here trying to get people to understand the need to check their own body on a regular basis. We recommend at least once a month, but do it correctly. Know what to look for and who to call if you need help. That process is working. 75% of people now survive breast cancer if you do what we ask you to do. If you do detect early, you know who to call and you know the help you require, you can save your own self by doing those things. But you must protect yourself by checking your own body. When you get to 50, you get mammograms. Women get mammograms, men don't. One man is diagnosed every day with breast cancer. One man needs to help himself forever because there's no mammograms for men. We'd like to change that, but we can't. It's not the right tissue to do that. So a woman has a mammogram from age of 50 to 70. When she gets to 70, she will not get invited for a mammogram, but she can request one. Very important that message is put across, because women stop going for mammograms at 70 when they can get them if they request one through their GP. So we're here to try and enlighten people on what to do, who to call, and what to do as you get older when you need the help. Please bear in mind, One woman is diagnosed every 10 minutes with breast cancer, one man every day. So the need is great. Being affected in my own family with cancer, that's why I choose this charity. This lovely charity, Breast Cancer Now, we found the BRCA genes for genetic cancers. Out of all the researchers in the world, they found that BRCA gene. So that's why I'm proud to work for them.
So, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a Scotsman living in Birmingham. Worked with the public all my life. So that helps me deliver the message. That helps me be approachable, because I believe that people buy into people. If you have the right manner and deliver it accordingly, then people trust you. And when I talk to people, I point to boxes. I don't make up stories. I point to the facts. If you keep to the facts, you can't go wrong. And that's what my ethos is. I call myself Happy Harry, and it's nice to be nice. So that's what I do.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, I can't go into much more, but that is technically what we do.
Thank you.
Thank you.